Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantanalam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And this sacred hamlet is waiting for the Shivaratri celebrations to begin. People from all over the world, Russia to Africa, are here to begin their Shivaratri sadhana, which will commence tomorrow in Prashantanalam, 28th of February 2014. At 8 a.m., we will have devotional chants and songs by the students of Bhagwan's University.
Ganga taranga ramaniya jata kalapam Gauri nirantara vibhushita vama bhagam Narayana priya mananga madapaharam Varanasi purapatim Vacham gocharam aneka guna swarupam Vagisha Vishnu sura sevita padapeetam Vamena vigraha varena kalatra vandam Varanasi purapatim bhaja Vishwanatham Bhutatipam bhujagabhushanabhushitangam Vyagrajinam bharadaram jatilam trinetram Pashankushabhayavarapradashulamayu Varanasi purapatim bhaja Vishwanatham.
So that is a glimpse of how it is going to be tomorrow morning. This was from a previous year's celebration, and I remember how Bhagwan in some years would emerge from the Yajur Mandir on the morning of Shivaratri in bright yellow or sparkling white, so fresh, so radiant, so serene it would be to just watch Bhagwan glide through Sai Kulwant Hall. It would be just heavenly. It is like heavenly Gangas gliding through the streams of devotees. He would sit in the Sai Kulwant Hall and his eyes would be closed. He would be so immersed in these chants. And when you sit there and you see Bhagwan so lost listening to these sacred hymns, it would be like you are watching Shiva. You are watching that ascetic form of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva in deep penance. It's as if Bhagwan is in a trance, as if these hymns transported him to a realm that is beyond this world. It would be like being in Kailasha. Bhagwan would be that still self, motionless, emotionless, so serene. In that silence, there would be so much eloquence, and in that beauty, so much of sublimity. He would be that personification of Sat Chit Ananda, of truth, of goodness, of auspiciousness, of beauty, of Satyam, of Shivam, of Anandam. Because that is true Anandam. That is the peace that surpasses anything that is ephemeral. That is the peace that is truly never ending. And when you saw Swami, it was always as if you were basking in the snowy white ambience, serene ambience of Mount Kailasha. Just like, as I mentioned, Shiva would be lost in bliss, Sai totally would be beyond the worldly, beyond the ephemeral. so centered in that absolute and in that enigmatic mudra of Bhagwan, total detachment. Total detachment of the world, yet orchestrating every single movement of the cosmos. Therefore, the thought of Shivratri itself always is so uplifting. It is so elevating. In the earlier years, Bhagwan used to perform Abhishekam of the Shirdi Baba idol, and the unceasing pouring of vibhuti from an empty vessel, and thereby, through that spectacle, teaching us so many profound lessons. Once Baba showed his open palm to the boys and asked him, "What is this?" And the student said, "Swami, it's your divine palm, Bhagwan." "What is in this?" Swami asked. And seeing nothing there, one of the boys said, "Swami, right now there is nothing, Swami." And Swami revealed, "In this nothing, there is everything. You think that the world is everything, but that is nothing." And Swami went on to add and said, "This hand can turn the earth into sky and sky into earth in a trice. It can turn a boy into girl and girl into boy in a second, and then ask this boy, would you like to volunteer for such a change?" Well, everyone laughed, but they got the message too. And Swami further said, "Man knows nothing, but he pretends he knows everything, while God knows everything, but pretends he knows nothing." How many times have we heard Bhagwan ask us, "Where do you come from? How many of you are there? What is your name?" So every Shivratri you had this grand festival of Abhishekam, the grand visual illustration of the omnipotence of the Almighty. And so out of that empty vessel showered down tons of vibhuti till it completely submerged the idol of Shirdi Sai and the red robe of Bhagwan, the robe of Bhagwan turning into grey. And when you ponder on this, this Abhishekam that Bhagwan did, this Abhishekam was done to whom? It was done to the idol of Shirdi Sai. Swami in June 1963 revealed how the manifestation of the Shiva principle is Shirdi Sai, and the coming of Shiva Shakti together is Satya Sai. So Swami was doing Abhishekam to Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva in the form of Shirdi Sai. And tomorrow evening after 4 February 2014, we would be seeing that Lingabhishekam in the Sai Kulwanthal. So many sacred items would be poured and offered to the Linga. So what is the significance of this elaborate ritual offering so many things to the Linga? If you think deeply, what is this Linga? As Swami has said on so many occasions, the Lingam is a symbolic representation of the form of the Lord, just like God, as sound is Om. And why is the Linga oval shaped like an egg? Because as Baba says, God has no beginning or end, Adi Madhyanta Rahita, that which has no beginning, no end, no middle. I mean, how can you find a middle for that which has no start and no finish? As they say, God is like a circle with its center everywhere and circumference nowhere. He is so mystifying. He is a puzzle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. And one easy way to picturize this phenomenon is this form of a linga. For our limited minds, just to get a glimpse of what could perhaps in a little way explain what the immensity and the enigmamity of the Lord is, the spherical shining symbol without a head or a tail, that linga. And it is this linga that Bhagwan so often materialized. And on Shivratri nights, this materialization happened from his being, from within himself. The linga emerged from Swami's body. And to me, it appears like Swami was demonstrating to us the principle of divinity latent in our beings. Most often, we are not able to cognize and understand, appreciate and assimilate when Bhagwan says your body is a temple of God. So on Shivratri, Swami takes that trouble to show us how the body is indeed that glorious temple of God. And as proof of that, he places before us this deity of this temple called the body. It is this spark of divinity within which Bhagwan concretizes into gold and then shows it to us. What better proof and evidence do we need to know that we are divine? Swami is divine, and he says us at the same time that we too are divine. Only Swami, because he is so pure, he is able to give a solid form to that principle of divinity that is within all of us, and he is even able to bring it out and show it for our joy, and thereby emphatically telling us how our bodies too have that spark of divinity within, have that gold within, but we do not know how to harness it, how to maximize it, how to concretize it, how to utilize it. And only to demonstrate this profound truth, Bhagavan used to undergo this pain of performing the Lingodbhavam. It shows, it also shows us that all things spectacular and divine in this world are not easy. Yes, in the end it's a marvelous spear of gold, blinding us with its brilliance, but it needs plenty of effort, it needs a lot of hard work, it needs so much sadhana, it needs years of pure living and noble thinking. That gives the power to do Lingodbhavam. That gives us the deservedness and the capability to manifest the divine in us so splendorously. And tomorrow you will find Abhishekam being done to the Linga in the Sai Kulwant Hall. So what are we basically doing in an Abhishekam? Offering, if you think again about it, it is basically offering all those best things that nourish life, all that is sacred, all that is life-giving, all that adds sweetness to our life. That is how we want to worship the Lord. That Lord, that Linga, that is very much within us. The Lord who is in the form of Linga pervades our entire being. That Lord has taken a form in the outside. The Linga outside is only a manifestation, an outer manifestation of the Linga pervading our entire being. And Swami only brought it out for us as a demonstration. And once that is out, we want to offer the best things of life to this Linga. We want to worship it with milk, with water. Because water and milk, they are life. And we want to give the best, so we have water from all the major sacred rivers. We pour ghee, we pour butter, which is the favorite of gods of Krishna. We pour curds, we pour coconut water, the most nutritious liquid on earth. We offer sugarcane juice, which is one of the sweetest things on the planet. We offer lime juice, one of those wonder fruits with a million therapeutic properties. All these are just representatives of the best things, the best natural things of life, which foster life. The best of creation, the best of sweetness. We offer fruits, we offer incense, we offer fragrance. So one way of looking at this is offering all that is beautiful and life-giving to the Lord. To the Lord, symbolically, to the Linga. And also as the Lingam is bathed with all this and cleansed, after every offering is made, since the true Linga is actually within our body, it is actually a way of simultaneously cleansing our inner being, our inner self. Every time the Linga is washed, we should feel that we have offered something beautiful to the Lord, and now we need to cleanse ourselves more, purify ourselves more, and then offer another thing, another gift. So the Abhishekam, looking at it in another way, is basically another cleansing process. And after all the Abhishekam is complete, then the Linga is wiped dry and now decorated with sandal paste and kumkum, and then adorned with flowers and jewels. Again, after repeated purification of our being, now it is pure. Our being is pure and resplendent, and it's shining with the Lord's glory. It's adorned with the cool sandal paste of peace. It is filled with these flowers. What are those flowers? As Bhagavan says, the Ashtapushpas, the flowers of compassion, of forgiveness, of forbearance, of non-violence. And as Swami says, then the Lord is adorned with jewels. And what are the jewels? So many discourses Bhagavan has said, Hastasya Bhushanam Dhanam Sas Satyam Kantasya Bhushanam. The jewels for the hand are charity and sacrifice. For the neck it is truth. For the ears it is sacred listening. So even as we adorn the Linga with flowers and jewels, this is how we need to decorate ourselves. Because inside us is this Atmalingam. And after the Abhishekam is over and the Linga is bedecked, the Linga now shines beautifully And the same thing happens to each one of us. If we truly internalize this beautiful ceremony of Lingabhishekam, if we strive to make this ritual truly spiritual, then we would glow like the Linga. We would glow in His love. He would lighten and brighten our beings. And then finally, when the Lingam is all ready, now that is offered to the Lord, which is very, very dear to the Lord. And that is what? That is art from the heart. Yes, art, music and dance, because all these are some of the most compelling manifestations of the divine. Music can take you to ecstasy, just like darshan of the Lord can. A beautiful bhajan can connect you with the divine like nothing else can do. What you might not have achieved with years of penance, you might experience it in a moment of intense divine inspiration of music. So music and devotional singing is therefore one of the most potent and fortunately easy ways to experience the zenith of sublimity. And that is something that anyone can do. It does not matter whether he is an illiterate or an intellectual. And that perhaps is the reason why Swami stressed on bhajan singing right at the time he declared his avatarhood. And this continued till the very end of his physical sojourn on earth. And innumerable have been occasions when he has highlighted this magnificent power latent in bhajans and devotional singing. Let me just play for you just one clip.
There is no other penance greater than making the name of God dance one more time.
Na tathāṁ na śāstra na japānahi samsāra sāgarottāre sajjanau sevanau vinā sajjanau sevanau vinā.
ఈ ఒక్క భగవత్ యొక్క తత్వాన్ని నామాన్ని స్మరిస్తే అదే తపస్సు, అదే తీర్థము, అదే క్షేత్రము, అంత సర్వము అదే అయిపోతుంది.
థింగ్ ఇస్ గ్లోరీ, దట్ ఈస్ ద పిల్గ్రిమేజ్, అండ్ దట్ అమౌంట్స్ టు రీడింగ్ ద సీక్రెట్ టెక్స్ట్, దట్ ఈస్ ద పెనెన్స్.
కనుక గుణ సంకీర్తన, భావ సంకీర్తన, ఇవన్నీ సంకీర్తనలో కాకుండా నామ సంకీర్తన మాత్రము చాలా ఉత్తమమైన సంకీర్తన.
Of all the forms of singing the glory of the Lord, the attributes and the feeling and all that, the name chanting is supreme.
Naam chetane bhajinchandi.
Chanting, singing,
tarinchandi.
And that's the only way to redemption.
Naamane varinchandi.
And you be after His name.
So unequivocally Bhagavan is telling us there is no penance greater than namasmarana, than namasankirtana. And dear listeners, that is what we are going to dwell on today. We will immerse ourselves in worshipping the Lord through music, with music. And I am going to share with you how the Divine has inspired so many on this path and continues to do even now. How many fortunate ones have been conferred with such amazing pieces of creativity that today lifts hundreds and thousands whenever they are sung or heard. We are going to dwell on the inspiration behind some beautiful Shiva bhajans and the lessons that Bhagwan taught through these masterpieces. First, I'll play for you a conversation I had with Brother T.V. Hariharan, an alumnus of Baba's University who joined his college way back in late 70s when the university itself had not come into being. He has been blessed to compose many soulful Shiva bhajans. And after this, we will have a live conversation with my colleague Arvind Sai, again another blessed singer who had the opportunity to sing every single day in Prashant Nilayam and sings even today. He sang for Bhagwan, especially during the last 5-6 years of Bhagwan's physical presence. He is going to tell us some beautiful stories about selected Shiva bhajans, which are very popular and which have been such wonderful conduits to the Lord. So that's what is in store for us tonight in this session of Thursday Live, straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. So welcome to Outside Inside Deep Inside on Thursday Live, and as I mentioned to you, what we are going to do today is just dwell on the Shiva consciousness. Shiva consciousness through bhajans. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and let's move on. And as I mentioned, we are going to first listen to the conversation that I had with Brother T.V. Hariharan, who came to Bhagwan's school as a student of 11th grade, and he did his graduation here. He served here for some time, and later, with Bhagwan's permission, left the portals of Bhagwan's university, but continued to spread his message and sing his glories. And today he's been instrumental in sharing with the world certain masterpieces of divine music, which are so beautifully inspired by the Lord and which bring joy to so many and help them to express their love to God. So here is this conversation that I had with Brother Hariharan just about a month or two ago. Sai Ram, Brother Hariharan.
Sai Ram, Vishu.
A warm welcome to you to the studios of Radio Sai.
Thank you.
Brother, you have been one of those luminaries, one of those former students of Bhagwan who not only had the wonderful opportunity of offering your music to Swami in the form of bhajans for so many years, sitting right under his nose, especially in the early days of Bhagwan's university. You also had the chance to compose many bhajans, and so many of those bhajans are now sung not only in Prashant Nilayam but in all over the world. And this is my feeling, that because each bhajan is not a musical composition, each bhajan is actually an expression of a dialogue between a devotee and Bhagwan. It is a medium to converse with Swami and express what you want to say. Because I believe in this, I feel that every bhajan is actually a conversation, and it would be very beautiful if we know what is the conversation which led to the birth of that bhajan. And if devotees are aware of that dialogue, what transpired between the devotee and the Lord, perhaps they'll be able to relate to that bhajan in a much better way. Perhaps the singer will sing it with more emotion, with more devotion, and perhaps the people who are following will find it a much better conduit to express their love for Bhagwan.
True.
So if you agree with this view — this is just a personal view, but if you agree with this, then possibly you should share your thoughts on this and tell us some of the stories behind so many beautiful bhajans that we sing every day in Prashant Nilayam and elsewhere.
Thank you, Vishu, for a lovely introduction. You have attributed so many things as the qualities of mine, but you know the truth, I know the truth, that each one of us are endowed with that quality. It is totally due to love and grace and blessings of Swami. As you rightly said, everything is a conversation with the Lord. It's no musical composition. First of all, I don't know much of music. I know nothing, but the composition keeps coming. Since you have asked me, since that composition came through this physical body, and it is identified with this body, because that I would like to share at least one or two experiences. I would like to share the experience of Arunachala Shiva, which are sung so beautifully by students.
Yes.
And devotees all over the world, they sing this bhajan. Wherever I go, sometime in YouTube I see, I found so many people are singing many bhajans, but this Arunachala Shiva I would like to share.
Sure, sir.
So happened in 2001, I was going to Arunachaleshwara temple in Tamil Nadu, Trivannamalai.
Yes.
That is supposed to be the Dakshina Kailasha.
Yes.
It is. And that Arunachala place is supposed to be the place of residence of all Siddha Purushas. That is, some of them in physical body, some of them in astral body, whom we cannot see. But anyone who visits there, they can feel the vibration. Since we are from Prashantinilayam, abode of God, any such place when we visit, we are immediately hit by the power and silence of that place. I happened to go with two more friends of mine. I went to Thirunamalai, went to Pondicherry, came back to Thirunamalai, stayed there for 3 days. Maximum time when I travel alone with no family around, I would like to maintain silence. Because in our lives we have talked so much. We keep doing so many things, use our mouth and then keep chatting something or the other. So generally such places I try to maintain silence. So that silence shook me actually. That actually took Vishwarupam in me. After staying for 3 days, I was leaving with my friends in car. So when I was returning, my heart said, don't leave this place. Mm-hmm. Be here. Enjoy the silence. Don't go away to Bangalore, to the din and bustle of that Bangalore city. Why don't you sit here? But other aspect says, no, you are a married man. You have duty to perform. You can just sit and keep quiet here forever. You have duty. Duty is God. That's what Swami says, you go. So, with no heart, turning, looking at the Arunachaleshwara hill, from the car I am turning and looking at that hill, and I am going away towards Bangalore. But looking at that, I could visualize, because that hill in Satyuga, Lord Shiva took the form of fire, yes. Agnilinga.
According to the Puranas.
Yeah, according to Puranas. The competition between Brahma and Vishnu, who will find the head or the toe or the greatest person. Vishnu took Varaha avatar, went down, 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 and he couldn't find the feet of Lord Shiva because he stood as Adi Madhyantarahita.
Yes. Adi Madhyantarahita.
He stood like that, so he couldn't. Brahma also couldn't find the head. But what happened? Shiva.
Adi Madhyanta Rahita means the one without a beginning and end.
The end.
Yes.
There is no beginning, no middle, no end for him.
Yes. Adi is beginning, Ant is end, and Madhya
Adi Madhyanta Rahita. Yes.
There is no middle.
When there is no beginning, there is no end. There cannot be middle also. That's why we say Adi Madhyanta Rahita.
Wonderful.
So, this way Brahma was going, he found a flower from Shiva's head, fell down. So Brahma took the flower and he tells the flower, see, I will tell Lord Shiva that I took it from his head. You have to say yes. But Vishnu finds no feet of Lord Shiva. He comes with all humility. Shiva took normal form. After taking that normal form, Brahma told, see, I have taken the flower from your head. Then Lord Shiva told, being God, you are telling a lie. That doesn't befit God. See, it's not human beings are like that. Even according to mythology, gods are not spared because they are with their ego of telling, yes, I have done that. This I have done business, where it leads, yes. This story says. Shiva told that flower, you will be never used for worship henceforth in this planet Earth. Until today, that flower we call in Tamil, Thadambu, I don't know in English.
Mm-hmm.
It's not used for worship of Lord Shiva or any god for that matter. And Brahma, since he told lies, Shiva told, no human will worship you as God henceforth. So that's why no temple, maybe except one temple in India for Brahma.
Yes.
There is no temple for Brahma.
Even though he is adored
as creator.
Creator.
Creator, no temple.
But there is no temple for him.
Because that small aspect of ego, that small aspect of lie. So when this is smallest aspect, even a god can be pushed down. We don't have to know about human beings.
Yes.
So how much, that's why whenever I thought about Swami, one composition, somebody gave the wording, but I was saying, bahut kiye hain paap aur prashta, kitne kiye hain logon ki ninda, phir bhi hame sharan mein liya, sharan mein liya, sharan mein liya. Kaise batayin hum kitne dhanya, kaise batayin bhagya humare. How much ever we have done, not so righteous things in this world. Still, Swami has taken his at his lotus feet because he is compassionate. Here this Brahma is out of godly kingdom. And Vishnu says, Shiva, I couldn't find your padam. I'm sorry, he says. Then Shiva says, since you are with utter humility, you will be greatest of all gods. That humility. In Swami also, we all must have experienced students and devotees. Swami is utter humble. You say anything, he will listen to you. He won't interfere with you. Then finally he will say something. But otherwise, if he thinks that you will be sort of moved, so he will just accept your view. He won't even change your view. So that was the thinking, this song. Then I only imagined him standing as Agnilinga, and you all know Arunachala Shiva means it is always, that word comes like this. No harmony was there. I was traveling in the car. Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Aruna Shiva. Aruna Achala Shiva. Aruna is red color. Achalam, because mountain doesn't move. Another thing is wisdom, enlightenment. Aruna stands for red. Red stands for enlightenment. Once you are enlightened, you won't move at all. You become auspicious. Aruna Achala Shiva. Aruna Achala Shiva, Aruna Achala Shiva. That's why Shiva is called Aruna Achala, because he illumines everyone's heart. He illumines everyone's intellect. And he gives that auspiciousness. That's why Aruna Achala Shiva. So that wording comes like that. Aruna Achala Shiva, Aruna Achala Shiva, Aruna Achala Shiva, Aruna Shiva. How did he stand? Akshaya Linga, Atma Linga. He stood as Akshaya Linga. With no beginning, no end, he stood.
Yes.
So I could see that darshan of Akshaya Linga. So Akshaya Linga, where can I see you? Atma Linga.
Oh, amazing.
Externally, you cannot visualize the grandeur. You have stood like that. But now where can I find you? Atma Linga. How did you stand for Brahma and Vishnu?
Tejomaya Vigrahalinga.
You stood as Tejomaya Vigrahalinga. Effulgent form you stood. Tejomaya Vigrahalinga. What do you do for devotees?
Iha Parasukadayaka. Isha, Iha Parasukadayaka.
You take care in this world and the other world also.
Iham and
give that joy and bliss to everyone. So second time, we only know Sai. So,
Iha Parasukadayaka. Sai.
Amazing.
These words, one by one it flows. That's why I always say we cannot do anything, because the words and tune, when it flows, when you are lost in the thought of that divinity which is immeasurable. Now I say my experiences with Swami, I can talk about that for a year. You can talk about it for a year. Like that, millions of devotees can talk about their experiences for years together. But all these things put together cannot define Swami, because he is much beyond that.
Exactly.
That is why he is Akshaya Linga. With no kshayam, it has got end.
Yes.
Which has got limitations.
Yes.
Here no limitations. That's what we have experienced with Swami.
Yes.
That is what experienced by Brahma and Vishnu also on Lord Shiva. That's why Akshaya Linga. Now when we are in silent, in Thirunamalai, Arunachaleshwara place, in silent you feel you are one with him. Here also, there when you go, you are there. Here when you see Swami in front of you, he sees Swami. Did anyone realize what is Swami's physical light when Swami stand in front of them? No. Okay, did they realize Swami is standing in front of them? No. Did they realize at least they are sitting in front of Swami? No. Because there is no two. It is only one. Because we lost ourselves. So no, there is no personal identity. So we lost ourselves in bliss when we see Swami. We lose ourselves.
So that time we see that akshayam, there is no end. Suddenly somebody asks, what did Swami talk to you? You cannot tell immediately. Then later you will think and you will forget off, like the Bhavanjali explanation. We'll forget off.
Yes.
That day what Swami talked, he saw the cover, he asked about everyone. So many things he asked about. We'll forget. Suddenly we will remember. So when Swami is talking to us, because he is immeasurable. So we try to catch a small glimpse out of that. But he is immeasurable. That's why Akshayalinga, Atmalinga, Tejomaya Vigrahalinga. This is not in any bhajan. That's why we cannot compose. These type of words are not normal.
Absolutely, sir. It is not normal.
Normal at all, because never we have used. So bhajan should have come, some Krishna, Rama or Shiva, something should have come. Instead, why these things comes? If we think about it, then we know that we don't want that.
Exactly.
Because easily we will know that it is the work of Swami to tell people. When you understand that he is in you and me, what he does is he gives all sukhas, gives you all the bliss. And that is what we are enjoying today. None of us can ever complain, no sir, today whole day was a very bad day. We cannot. Because morning you do Omkaram, Suprapatam, then after that you go sit and sing bhajan in Prashanalayam. It is blissful. After that you do your work. Still you are involved with Swami's work. You are not out of Swami's work. Evening again bhajan. Night again you are talking on Swami. Night you sleep, sapne mein aao Shyam Murari. That's all.
Absolutely.
Even in dream we can only have him. Because day and night the thoughts are pinpointed around him. There is no other thought can ever protrude this and cross this. Because he has established himself as Atmalinga in ourself.
That is really amazing. The way you mentioned Akshayalingam and next word is Atmalingam.
Oh.
I think that is so profound. I mean, Swami is doing in a sense that he is saying he is the infinite one, but at the same time,
he is in you.
He is in you.
Yeah, contained.
Don't look for him outside.
Not contained and can be contained also, yes. Like Yashoda tied Krishna.
Yes.
With love.
Yes.
So, with love when we tie, yes. Yes, my Atma is that, sir.
Very beautifully Vivekananda says, in whom is the soul, who is in the soul, and who is the soul?
Who is the soul? True. That is the meaning. Because Akshayalingam, who is the soul?
Amazing.
And he is in the soul is Atmalinga.
Exactly.
That's what. So,
amazing.
True. That is a beautiful explanation for this statement.
Yes.
Swami Vivekananda's statement holds good for these two words also. Akshayalinga and Atmalinga. That is the
yes.
thing.
Amazing.
That's how, you know, like this only, whether it is Aruna Ramana, I was sitting in Seshadri Swami's ashram, yet another visit,
mm-hmm.
in Samadhi of...
Seshadri Swami's ashram in the same Tiramanamana.
Next to the Ramana ashram.
Yes, he's also enlightened.
He's a Siddha Purusha.
Siddha Purusha.
Who
yes.
used to wear old torn cloths.
Yes.
Anybody gives new cloth, he will go give it to the graveyard person who burns the body. And he will suddenly stay in Nala. You know, Nala will be Ganda.
Yes.
It will be so bad odor.
But
drainage
people pipes
are, drainage. He will be there in drainage. And suddenly he will come out of drainage. It will smell perfume.
Oh my God.
He will go to a shop and take everything and throw away those things. That day that shop will have tremendous business.
Business.
So that is the type of personality who looked after Ramana at his young age when he came to do tapas in a Guha in Tiruvannamalai temple. He used to take care.
Yes.
So I was sitting in Samadhi Mandir. Suddenly the words comes. Aruna Ramana Shri Gurudeva.
Oh, please. Yeah.
Where that word
please
come,
go on.
You know?
Yeah. Explaining about this bhajan.
Aruna Ramana Shri Gurudeva. Shesha Ramana Satguru Deva Shesha Ramana Satguru Deva Aruna Ramana Shri Guru Deva Bhava Bhaya Harana Shri Sai Deva Guru hai Sat Chit Anand Deva Anand Deva Shri Sai Deva
आनंद देवा श्री साई देवा अरुणारमण श्री गुरुदेव.
This song came in that Samadhi Mandir of Seshadri Swami Lashram.
That's how you had the second line, his name, Sesharamana.
Little did I realize, later Ramana was called Chinna Seshadri. I didn't know
Is it?
That.
Okay.
Somebody told me, because Sesharamana, why should Sesharamana come? No connection at all. Ramana, you know, enchanting the heart.
Correct.
Aruna is, you know.
Generally, you know, we tend to understand this as...
With, Adi personality.
Sometimes you should think of Adi Sesha.
Yeah.
Because you know you think of him as Vishnu and Adi Sesha. Somewhere you're trying to understand what is the singer trying to convey, composer trying to convey.
Because I found Ramana Maharshi, all of us know that he is a realized soul.
Yes.
So Aruna Ramana Shri Gurudeva. He's a Shri Gurudeva. And Aruna Ramana means Aruna is, I told you, illumined.
Yes.
It's not Arunachala, it's not only a hill, it gives illumination to people.
Yes.
That is why Aruna Ramana, that Arunachala who illumined Ramana, and Ramana who was illuminated in Arunachala, Shri Gurudeva is a Gurudeva. Sesha Ramana Sadgurudeva, Seshadri Swami and Ramana is Sadgurudeva. At later when he got illumined and everything, that Seshadri Swami is a Siddha Purusha. So Sesha Ramana, since he was connected with Ramana, he's a Sadguru. There, because he guided Ramana Maharshi. So Sadguru Deva, guided means which way? By protecting him in tapas.
Yes.
So by that he is a Sadguru. Ramana himself accepted Seshadri Swami as his guru, so Sadguru Deva. But who is our Sai? Bhava Bhaya Harana Shri Sai Deva. Your cycle of samsara, the fear of samsara is thrown away. So he is Shri Sai Deva. Crossing the stage of Guru, Sadguru, you call Parameshri Guru, everything. Guru himself is God. That's good.
Yes.
But for normal understanding, because the evolution takes place in the thought process, so, Bhava Bhaya Harana Shri Sai Deva. Because Swami has mentioned lots of time about Arunachaleshwa. Swami's favorite place is also that. He has also mentioned about Ramana Maharshi also many a times. So, never in a bhajan, I was shocked actually why these Ramana words are coming. Sesha Ramana, now whether people will accept. But what to do, it is conversation. It is not whether think about people, whether they will accept. It
exactly.
comes automatically.
Exactly.
And Bhava Bhaya Harana Shri Sai Deva, the one who has destroyed the fear of the ocean of samsara. Every Sai devotee can claim, yes, Swami told, I am God, you are God. Swami has said, I am also God. When Swami has lifted everyone to that divine level, that is God actually. There is a Tamil saint who sang a song, Enakkum Unakkum Isendapurutham Enapurutham. In that he is telling, you lifted me to that height. He is telling, that saint poet is telling, to what height? Equal to you. And that's what Swami did.
Wow.
Because only God can lift any normal being to that state. Not anybody else. And Swami lifted everyone. That's why he addresses Prema Surupalara, Divyatma Surupalara. He never addressed, oh, ye devotees who have come here. Never. Embodiments of divine love. Embodiments of divine Atma. We have heard the Mahamantra for years together. Now it is up to us to raise ourselves to that state. That he will raise us certainly. So Bhava Bhayaharana. So once he has addressed us like that, so destroy the fear of ocean of life. He is true Guru. Who is the true Guru? We are talking of Seshadri Swami, Ramana Maharshi, and also Swami. True Guru is truth, existence and bliss. Guru hai Sat Chit Anandeva. Why this word came? That is the definition of God. That is the definition of Guru. Sat Chit, truth, existence, bliss. Satyam Shivam Sundaram. That's our Swami. So this song came like that, Aruna Ramana.
Wonderful.
I didn't know that our Puttaparthi, I used to sing 2001 in US and Canada, everywhere. Suddenly I come here, already some boy is singing Aruna Ramana. How it reached?
Oh, you had not taught anyone here?
No. Even Heshyama Sundara, that composition came, it came in little different way. I thought that composition should not be let out. So when that composition came, my wife's cousin sister was sitting, she learnt it. I told, please don't sing this bhajan. that please don't sing. Whenever we tell any human being not to do, they will do that. That's what happened. That girl went and sang in the center. From center, some other very good singer took it and he sang during Shivaratri. There was one more very popular traditional singer who came, listened to that bhajan. He learnt it, went and sang in Ernakulam. Ernakulam, there is a music director, T.S. Radhakrishnan, who heard that bhajan and came and sang in front of Swami.
Oh my God, and you are not aware of this at all?
I was not at all aware. And after that, many months, one of our students, Tara Shankar, that time, he suddenly, one day, he brings out this song in front of Swami. The tune is a little different from original one, but all said and done, the new tune, what students sing, are the best tune, more than the original tune. So that song, you know, when that song came, I was listening to some song by Jayasudas. But I am listening to Jayasudas, that song is not entering my ear. It is coming as, Hey Shyama Sundara, Hey Sai Sundara. I thought I am hearing wrong, so I just put my ear properly and I am listening. I am again listening to that same word. Then I know Swami is up to something now. So let me not listen to Jayasudas singing anymore. Because if I listen to that anymore, this won't come. Now whether Swami's operation through you or you want to listen with your chakshu, your ear, external thing. I thought the moment Swami is giving something, switch it off. I switched off and this bhajan came fully. I didn't even listen to the song full. In my house, everyone was there. I didn't even listen to the song full. That's how that song
came. Such a beautiful Krishna bhajan.
Beautiful Krishna bhajan and students sing it beautiful. Whole world people sing it beautiful. And you know, this is where the act, we are just as nobody there. It comes.
Maybe you can just play this bhajan.
No, but the students, they are singing so beautiful. Originally it came like that. He Shyama Sundara, He Sai Sundara. How it came? He Shyama Sundara. One gap. He Shyama. How he looks? Sundara. So there is a small gap. But we can sing it. He Shyama Sundara. That is also beautiful. But maybe once we can do like that, once yes. We can do like this.
Yes.
Then for us, who is that? Parthi Purishwara, He Sai Sundara. Parthi Purishwara, He Sai Sundara. Nilamega. The composition comes like this. The whole song is offbeat. Thank God our students made it in some.
Okay.
If it is offbeat, it will be very difficult for devotees to pick up. Why that Nilamega Sundara also comes in offbeat? Because the cloud comes suddenly. It doesn't tell you and come.
Oh my God.
That is the secret behind the composition. He Shyama Sundara, He Sai Sundara.
God is all about unexpectedness.
Unexpectedness. Expect the unexpected.
Yes.
So, when it was originally composed, it was Neelame. But this is a beautiful tune. What you are all singing is beautiful. But what I felt that time, how I was inspired is Neelame Sundara Neerajalochana. That's the way this song came. Because it's offbeat, it comes because cloud comes without telling you. It will be bright sunlight. You will be sitting, my God, it is sweating. You will be thinking, suddenly dark cloud comes. So Neelamega Sundara, you really enjoy that cloud actually that time. And then that grace is poured like that. And Swami is also like that. You won't be expecting. You must have joined as a student or you must have come as a devotee sitting in the line. See, this is what is the connection, what I felt. I came to Puttaparthi. I sat first day. I visited Prajanalayam. I sat last. I didn't expect anything. But suddenly, though I sat last, Swami called me for interview. That suddenness. That is Neelamega. That is cloud. If the grace has to be poured. The rain is pouring after mega comes. Mega comes suddenly. Suddenly you find rain pouring. Same way Swami's grace also. No? You wouldn't have expected that Swami will call you for interview or Swami will talk to you or Swami will look at you or Swami will smile at you. You won't be thinking. You'll be sitting quietly It's good enough that we have darshan of Swami. But there Swami calls, hey, you come. That time your heart jumps out of joy. Right? It jumps out of joy. Sudden. That is why
Keshava Sundara, He Sai Sundara, Nila Megha Sundara.
That Sundara, you know, when you go, you will really take off to another world, because He has shown His beauty by selecting us suddenly. We came to this world unknowingly. A saint poet says, we came to this world, Kanakkathigaippukkinge Nanum Kalinge, we are puzzled and we came into this world. So He removed all that puzzle, lifted us to His stature. And His grace flows suddenly without our expectation. You expect you will be disappointed. You don't expect you are getting it. So that's why Neelamega Sundara, Neeraja Lochana, Dada Neeraja. So like Lotus Eyed One, because He has no attachment. Lotus has no attachment. He showers love with no expectation. How many of the students we must have studied, or how many of the devotees who must have got so much from Swami, every day, every minute we think, or how many of us come to say thanks, or in our heart, even at our own prayer room, how many of us can go every day and then thank you, Swami? Yes, we may say. But many of us will forget to say also. But He doesn't expect, oh, this boy never, he is ungrateful, so I won't bless him, or this devotee never think about me. No. Whether anyone thinks about Him or not, He goes, He showers suddenly His grace. That is how we were all pulled to Swami. That's why that Neelamega Sundara, Neerajalasa.
It is unexpected that, and it is bountiful.
Bountiful. So that is why He is Brahmanda Nayaka. So the word won't come, you know, when the tune won't come, you know. There's like Brahmanda Nayaka. It doesn't come.
Yes.
Brahmanda Nayaka. Esai Sundara.
Esai, you define Brahmanda Nayaka. How can I ever define your grace? Neither I can define nor I can defy. Because your grace is perennial.
The simile of grace with the dark clouds is so powerful and so beautiful. I mean, it's so much potent with auspiciousness, with goodness, with prosperity, with happiness, with joy, with nature, with plentifulness. Everything is conveyed.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it's Brahmanda Nayaka. Because He doesn't bless only Ariharan. He doesn't bless only you and me. He blesses everyone. Everyone sitting at home. You talk of Swami, why side devotees cry when we talk about experience? Because each one has experienced
that. Exactly. They have something they can relate to.
They can relate. So it is not my experience, your experience. It is everyone's experience. So that's a Brahmanda Nayaka. That's how He flows through every one of us.
Amazing.
And I should only think, Swami, make us live only in your thought. Because it gives so much sukha. Because worldly people, we want sukha also. Joy. Joy is which has got end. So we want bliss. That also only your name can give. Your name gives joy for us. Your name gives all the wealth for us. Your name gives all the prosperity for us. Your name solves everything. Once in Abu Dhabi, somewhere in satsang, one doctor, I didn't know what doctor he was. Suddenly, a question and answer session, he told, if karma is going to take priority, what is the needs for God's name?
Mm-hmm.
If karma is what you have to undergo, then why do you take God's name? And you know what you have to undergo? You have to undergo. You have to undergo, then why God's name? That's what he asked. And I didn't know, out of blue, Swami gives the answer. I didn't know what doctor he was. I told, sir, a patient who has got appendicitis has to undergo the operation. A person who has got heart problem has to undergo heart surgery. Doctor won't keep the knife straight away. Before that, one more doctor is called anesthetist who give anesthetic effect so that the other man doesn't feel the pain. So he gets operated and then he, you know, improves. Same way we have to undergo our karma. But God's name gives the anesthetic effect. we won't know the pain of undergoing the karmic actions.
Exactly.
So God's name acts as anesthetic effect. Little did I know, I answered like that. He started crying and he was, sir, I'm an anesthetic doctor.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
I have been doing this job, but there is so much secret.
You never forget this.
So that is what happens.
Amazing.
Swami gets the answers from our mouth. And it is a truth.
Truth, absolutely.
Why God's name? This is the truth. Why God's name? This is the truth. And that's how in my life, so many things which must have been acceptable, non-acceptable. But the moment we take Swami's glory, then that's it.
And coming to think of it, even bhajans are one sort of anesthesia.
It is anesthesia. Because you will start the bhajan, that time you will have body consciousness. But once you enter into bhajan, you don't know whether you are singing right or wrong, whether it is in anything. You won't bother because you have merged with that sweetness of the name.
Yes.
So you don't have any more qualification other than tasting the sweetness of the name, Namaruchi.
Yes.
So that qualification, we enter into that. After that, we forget. Till the bhajan ends, we don't know whether somebody else comes and tells, sir, brother, you sang a wrong word, okay. Or he says, you know, that place instead of sa, you sang ri. I am very sorry, only you can say. Now you cannot repeat sa or ri again for them. You can only say, I am very sorry, that's all. Because during bhajan time, Swami sees to it, you are switched off. I am switched off. Everyone is switched off. All the listeners are switched off. That time sound permeates whole auditorium. Kulvantal vibrates or any bhajanal vibrates. Only God's name vibrates. There is no singer, no listener, nothing. Only sound, sound. Shabda brahmamai characharamai. That time, that power of Shakti of Swami's name really puts everyone under anesthetic effect. Finished. That's why they'll say, oh, anywhere they listen to bhajan, good bhajan, that day they'll listen. Today we were in Prashantilim. We felt we were in Prashantilim.
I think that's a common experience. You know, people come here, they sit for bhajans and they are so charged. The feeling of being, having tapped some source of joy or some
joy.
Source within, which has sort of unleashed.
Unleashed, true.
Some joy which was there latent.
True. Swami has given so much blessing for the devotees. He really has blessed so much that he makes everyone loose in bhajan. And through that all of us, because that half an hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour, when we live in that state of achala, we don't move.
We connect to the spirit and spirit energizes
us. Totally, yeah. So everyone is given that 1 hour battery charge every day. 23 hours runs so beautifully, so easily.
Exactly.
Wonderful. So easily, everyone lives, they become one. It's not in Meera time, we say, aisi lagi lagan, Meera ho gai magan. O to gali gali harigun gaane lagi. But in our age, all of us,
yes.
All Sai devotees are mad.
Yes.
That they listen so much of madness with Swami's bhajan. Around the globe, I find the madness for Swami's bhajan is so much from everyone. So we are all real madness, God madness.
Yes. And the concept of bhajans being anesthesia is so powerful as I think of it, because just like you forget all your bodily
ailments,
I think, you know, once people sit for bhajans, they are away from everything that was bothering them.
Yes.
And that is, you know, first level of
evolution.
Evolution, first level of experiencing that peace.
Exactly.
You're just away from everything.
Everything. Very difficult. You can't keep a watchman giving him 1 crore rupee and say that this worry should not enter my house. No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but bhajans can do it.
It's not going to enter from outside. It is from the mind it is entering.
Yes.
Here the watchman has to be heart. It cannot be any other watchman. And the heart cannot listen and get controlled by anything in the world except God's name. The prayer.
Absolutely.
The conversation with the Lord, it hears. I think all the hood, poison hood will come down. Like Kalinganardhana Krishna did on top of Kalinga. He only removed the poison. He didn't kill Kalinga. Kalinganardhana, not Mardana.
Yes, that's another beautiful
thing. Yeah, Kalinganardhana. Krishna would have killed Kalinga easily.
Yes.
But then he only removed the poison from Kalinga. And that's what Swami did. by his name dancing on our head, he stamps and dance. All the unwanted poisons of ego, hatred, jealousy, kama, krodha, lobha, madama, it's all spitted out.
Yes.
After some time, no more is left. It is just so fantastic feelings. We are so light.
After that, it's such a beautiful scene of Krishna dancing on that serpent. Previous to that, you know, there was a fight and all that, but the culmination of it is so beautiful.
It's beautiful. That's what happens to all of us when
the journey
God's
happens.
Name, yeah, God's name turns on our head and tongue. When it is vibrating in the head, everything is removed.
And as someone said, people say that is how dance started. Krishna dancing on the serpent, that is how the steps called ta, titta, thai, which is part of the Kathak tradition of dance. They say that it's all originated from the dance steps of Krishna.
Krishna. true.
He is the source of all creativity.
Natana Sundara. And Akhila Sundara. He is the Akhila Sundara.
Amazing.
So that is what is a
beautiful.
I am so happy and thankful. Again, we have shared beautiful things. I think I pray to Swami this should be shared with people who come to bhajan classroom of Radio Sai, so that when this goes, because neither I know to speak nor I know to do anything, but we are all aware that Swami is activating us in such a beautiful way, I am sure that all of us will be in that type of emotion when we sing the bhajan, so that we become one with it.
Absolutely. One with Sai.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir, for coming to the studios. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Thank you.
So that was Brother T.V. Hariharan, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, who had the chance to sing in front of Bhagwan, and now he is in this mission of spreading the message of Sai Bhajans. And Bhagwan is so beautifully using him as his instrument to bring forth such lovely, what should I say? Composition is a word which doesn't do justice. We can only say these are messengers that carry our prayers to the divine, be it Arunachala Shiva, be it Heshama Sundara, be it Arunaramana. And if you look at every bhajan in this manner, how elevating it is when you know how the divine was working behind the scenes to give us this gift, this beautiful gift, so that again we can use this to go to him. And just to dwell on this a little more, I have my colleague, Brother Arvind Sai, with us here now in the studios. So welcome, Brother Arvind Sai, to this program, to Outside Inside, Deep Inside.
Thank you, Vishu Sai Ram.
So we just heard such lovely interaction with Brother Hariharan, and he shared us the stories behind 2-3 bhajans, and you are someone who has been blessed to sing in front of Bhagwan for so many years, and has been beckoned by Bhagwan and requested by Bhagwan at times to sing a specific composition. So tell us, what have you gathered about some of these beautiful inspirations behind the many bhajans that we sing in Prashanti?
Yeah, as Hariharan has put it forward, like whether somebody composes or somebody sings or somebody creates music, it's absolutely given by Swami, and the inspiration, and like we say, whatever talents we have got, we offer it back to God. That's what happens with all of us. If at all we're getting chance to sing every day, until unless He wills it, this doesn't happen. Because you would have observed, as Sir also observed in his talk, that many times actually none of us have come from the music background. But still that fervor and the feeling behind, you know, I have to sing for Swami, because it's the rarest opportunity to sing for the God. After all, Swami tells in some of the discourses that people now are more into learning film songs, and after all, you are singing God's name, which is the ultimate destination for any human being. So I have today morning, I have got the opportunity to speak to one of the composers of some of the famous bhajans which we sing day in and day out in Prashantaniyam, and which were sung in front of Swami when Swami was physically present too. Some of the bhajans and the composer name, let me start with.
Sure.
His name is Sri Krishnamohan Garu. Okay. Is very well known as Sri Raviteja's brother, who used to play flute in Mandir, who continues to play. And he has been the part of Shivam Bhajan Group for almost 4.5 decades now.
Wow.
From the inception of Shivam, he's been part of it.
In Hyderabad.
And he continues to be. His voice is something really melodious, and it really takes you into trance. And hope listeners get a chance to hear him sometime later in the future.
Yeah, let's pray that that happens.
Yeah. And some of his compositions which come to my mind are like Sesha Selavasa, Basma Bhushitangasa.
Wow, this is Mr. Krishnamohan.
Yeah. Gauri Natha.
Yeah, this is a famous one. Even this morning I had gone to the general hospital and one doctor asked me, who sings that bhajan? That's such a beautiful bhajan. Tell me about that bhajan. I told you, listen to Outside Inside Deep Inside tonight.
And some of them were like Paritishwara Satya Saishwara. His composition. Giridhara Bala Yenan. These are all his famous compositions. Sai Naam Bolo, Govinda Naam Bolo, Bolo Jai Sai Ram. All of these are his compositions. So I have chosen two bhajans. I have spoken to sir in the morning.
Okay.
And two bhajans are Basma Bhushitanga Sai and also Gauri Nathaya Vishwanathaya.
Yeah, tell us.
So Basma Bhushitanga Sai, let me narrate it as sir tells me. Basically their family, their grandfather, father's father, was they used to believe in both Shaivism and Vaishnavism.
Okay.
So they used to put sometimes on Adam, that is horizontal way of putting the namam. And the vertical way of putting the namam.
Yeah.
So once actually Swami called Raviteja sir to interview and ask him, it seems, that are you Adama Niluva?
Okay.
Are you Shaivite or a Vaishnavite?
How do you put the
namam? And he just didn't understand the question properly. He just casually told Swami Addam. Oh, Swami told, oh, you belong to Shaivism.
Okay.
Because it's very strong in their family that they used to worship both, but their fathers and their forefathers used to worship Shiva a lot actually. Even when Krishnamohan sir was 10 years old, or before he was born, his mother used to chant lot of Shankaracharya shlokas. Chandra Shekara, Chandra Shekara, Chandra Shekara Pahimam. All the 32 shlokas of Adi Shankara, all the shlokas, astotras, they used to chant a lot. And they saw Swami in the year 1967, when Swami had come to Burugul Ramakrishna Rao's house, the then chief minister, I think so. He has come to his home in 1967.
Maybe governor.
Sorry. And it was a house, and since they were devotees, they were sitting somewhere in the back. And Raviteja, Krishnamohan sir's father felt, the Swami is going to come to us and talk to us in the, among this big crowd. But Swami has his own way of fulfilling the desires of his devotees. He had come all the way from the first room somewhere and come to the point where they are sitting, asked them to take Parnamaskar and created Vibhuti and given them.
Amazing.
And that is the first thing which Krishnamohan sir vividly remembers, that at the age of 10 years, it is imprinted in his heart that somebody, he is nothing than Shiva himself, came in the form of human and who bestowed with us this Vibhuti. And that time he felt that something we should compose on Shiva, something which tells about his Vibhuti, something talks about his form. That's what he felt. And also they used to go to Harikathas, very famous, 70-71. And there is one person who used to come and deliver these Harikathas. At the end, to involve people, he used to sing one song with Namavali, Om Harashankara, Om Harashankara. But he felt, even if he is singing, he is trying to involve many people couldn't follow him because it's little bit of classical touches there. It based Hindolam Ragam. But this also made him, you know, think one step ahead. Why can't we compose some bhajan kind so people can involve themselves and people can follow?
Yes.
This is one aspect. And the next one is he used to hear M.S. Subbalakshmi at that point in time. And she used to sing one song, one particular song or stotram, which is in Rag Revati.
Mm-hmm.
So actually Basma Bhushitanga belongs to the Rag Revati.
Yes.
So then he went little inside all these Vedams, Omkaram, for example, Rudram also, Namah Shivaya. Yes. You take any Vedam, they belong to the Revati
Raga.
So that is also an inspiration for composing in this Rag.
Okay.
So then he thought he should compare Swami with Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
That is the inspiration he got from. Then he told his mother is a radio artist too, All India radio artist too. She was a classical singer and they learned the music from her mother.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. And this bhajan was composed in the year 1974-75.
Okay.
That time period. And one more thing is Basma Bhushitanga Sai Chandrasekhara, it is more like it's like dance based kind of a song.
Mm-hmm.
Wherein takata takata takata
tak. Yes.
So this also there is a reason because in one of the movies called Bhu Kailas,
mm-hmm.
Ghantasala Garu, the famous singer of Telugu regional language, he sang this one stotram of Adi Shankara's in the tune.
Okay.
So that first two lines, Basma Bhushitanga Sai Chandrasekhara, Phalanetra Shuladari Sai Shankara. These two lines were composed just thinking of how Swami as Shiva dancing,
mm-hmm.
on the cosmos.
Wow.
That's what he composed with. And also many of his bhajans, all of his bhajans, somewhere at the end or the middle or somewhere, there will be a Namavali. That's okay. Why it's like Sai Shankara, Basma Bhushna Chandrasekhara, Sai Shankara, wherein people could easily follow.
Correct.
Then they thought, God is the lover of music. So Sama Vedas are there.
Yes.
But Swami also tells, there are Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, many Vedas. But actually, you can actually feel God when you sing bhajan and involve many, many more people into it.
Correct.
You are not only the recipient of the true love of God, but also you are distributing it. So you get double promotion when you sing.
Correct.
That's what Swami used to tell. So Sama Gana Priyakara Sai Sundara it is actually. That's what the composer has said.
Mm-hmm.
So, next one is Natana Shekara, why he has involved that line. He said like, when he had come for darshan, Swami has spoken to the person behind, Swami has spoken to the person beside, around him, everybody, but invariably he has avoided him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when he thought, this is the Lord who is come in flesh and blood, who creates Vibhuti, who shows he is none other than Shiva, but he plays around with his devotees.
Okay.
So he is the Natana Shekara.
So for him the dance was this dance that Bhagwan used to do with our minds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Natana Shekara. And then he, who is this? All Basma Bhushitanga, Chandrasekhara, who is this? Bhaktivasa Sai Deva Sai Shankara.
Wonderful.
That's what he puts it. And it's in the Tala, Tisra Jati in Carnatic music and in the normal way of connoting we call it 6-beat.
Yes, yes.
6-beat and it is, he also chose this beat because many people, I think those times, 74, 75, many people used to follow folk, a lot of folk movies.
Yes.
And folk, bhajans also should be in folk, people can join.
It adds a lot of lively rhythm actually.
Exactly.
6-beat has its own charm.
Yeah. Exactly. And at the end, he usually what he tells is, to get the more feel of it, he adds, Sai Shankara, Satya Sai Shankara.
Okay, usually in the third speed.
In the third speed.
Okay.
It goes in Aditalam, 8-beat.
Oh, okay.
So that he gets the momentum. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Catch up the momentum.
Wow.
So this is the beautiful experience behind the composition of this bhajan.
Behind every line, there is so much of thought that has gone into it.
Exactly. Every word almost like yes. has got some significance why he has put it that way.
Amazing.
And about the second bhajan, yes. Gauri Nathaya, it's in the rag Kalavati.
Okay.
And this was composed in the year 2008-2009. This, he has gone to one of the Samiti bhajans and somebody has put these words, lyrics, into something called a folk type of. And the feel of the whole thing, he felt something, it's diluted. The words are so powerful. Why it is not conveying the words in the form of a music? Mm-hmm. Then he went back to home. He sat with the harmonium. Then he saw few ragas which are commonly used in the bhajan. Then he felt this one particular bhajan, Shambho Shankar Deva. He felt that rag is something very inspirational, very powerful, because Har Har Ganga, third yeah. speed also is there. Then he thought this might, because it is this bhajan Gauri Nathaya has got, this rag itself has got both bhakti bhavam and nama bhavam. That is, feel of the whole bhajan, it gets the feel, and also it can produce the namavali in a very beautiful way. That's what he felt. There are subtle notes which can touch the bhava, there are powerful notes which can convey the name.
Okay.
That's what he felt. And then, first line, Gauri Nathaya Vishwanathaya, what he tells is many of his compositions, mother and he, when he sat, something they would have learned spiritually, they want to put it in the word form and compose the bhajan. So this, when he tells Ammavaru and Ayyavaru, that is we call in Telugu,
yes.
Amma is mother, Ayya is father. So for us, mother and father are Parvati and Shiva.
Yes.
So he heard Swami telling us Samba Shiva as a word. As a word, Sa is father.
Yes.
Amba is mother.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought, I should put this in the first line itself.
Mother and father.
Yeah, that's why he put Gauri Nathaya Vishwanathaya. Then second line, Sai Nathaya Namah Shivaya. And that particular line, when he tells about subtle notes, Gunatitaya Gunadharaya Sai Nathaya Namah Shivaya. The Gunatitaya aspect, if you see, it is very subtle. Their touching notes are very subtle. Sai Nathaya again has got the Namavali. That's how. And then Kala Kalaya, Kala Titaya, Kala Rupaya Namah Shivaya. Once Raviteya sir, when he was interviewing, Swami asked about his grandfather. Do you know about your grandfather? Now Raviteja was sir in 2 months. When he joined, it was in the year 85. His grandfather passed away. Father's father passed away in the year 82. Now he was thinking, why Swami is asking about my grandfather who has passed away? Is he asking about him or my mother's father who is alive still? As he was thinking, Swami just told, hey, I am asking about your father's father, not mother's father. He didn't even express to Swami.
Hmm.
It was going on back of his mind. Swami expressed. And also he felt, currently our generation, our father's generation, our forefather, grandfather, like that, he was thinking there are 4 generations, 5 generations who have come to Swami. Everybody's history, everybody's past, present, future, Swami knows. So he's Kalaya. He is the very time.
Yes.
Kala Titaya, he is beyond time.
Yes.
Kala Rupaya, he is the very form of time. So he just felt like everything God knows. From past 5,000 years in Indian culture, we worship God. And every single aspect of every single human being, God knows. So that's why he incorporated them. Kala Kalaya, Kala Titaya, Kala Rupaya Namah Shivaya. Then who is that Shiva? Prema Rupaya Partivasaya.
Wow.
Sai Nathaya Namah Shivaya. In the year 2010, I believe, many people feel that we have introduced this bhajan actually.
Mm.
But actually, sir himself has got the opportunity. In 2010, when they came for, just before Shivaratri, they came for the Hyderabad group. And since the dance program they organized got over earlier, Swami asked them to sing bhajan. Swami signaled to him and sing. Okay. And then when he sang this Kala Kalaya, he tells Swami, stared at him straight into his eyes. He felt that Swami is conveying that I know you for past so many years, so many ages, and I'll be continue to stay with you forever and ever. Mm-hmm. The same feeling actually when we got the opportunity, 2010, Global Akandavajan time, Swami left in the evening, the first 24 hours, 6 to 9 where the mics were on, Swami left to the Ajur Mandir, and Swami sent a word that tomorrow evening when I come, let boys sing something new, so that people will have something to look forward to. Then this was conveyed, and we were each pair was discussing what to sing next. Next tomorrow, what is the new bhajan? As we are thinking, we approached Ravitya sir, and he told, can you ask my brother? And we called. Overnight, we learned this bhajan, Gaurinathaya.
Okay.
And next day evening, when Swami came to dais, first bhajan was this. I still remember, there was a prasadam distribution going on. Suddenly, Swami stopped everybody. Swami asked him to sit down. And then, this bhajan, he enjoyed, like, really, I can still feel that Swami is just right in front of me, and as though he's hearing that Kala Kalaya Kala Rupa, as sir expressed it, the same experience we too had. That, you know, I know everything, I am beyond time, and the time himself.
Wow.
So, this is the experience behind this bhajan which the composer has shared with me. Actually, you should, I feel, as I requested sir also, to share with listeners all of this experience with each bhajan, because as he was singing today morning Kala Kalaya, he just broke down. For 3 to 4 minutes, there was simply silence, and I could hear only tears of joy on the phone. He just immersed himself in connecting to Swami and showing his gratitude for a given. As you have said, all of us are instruments, mere instruments, and he became one of the instrument in passing on the one aspect of divine, that yes. is music, in the form of a composition.
Wonderful.
And
wonderful. Thank you very much, Arvind sir. You are now currently that instrument who really helped to bring this to the world. And as you mentioned, the composer has such lovely thoughts, such lovely exalted expressions of love when he puts those words and he puts those tunes into that language, the language of music. And just like you had your own experience with Bhagwan, I think every singer will have their own experience with every bhajan. And it only gets heightened once you know what was the original import of that bhajan. What is it that really inspired the composer to make this offering to Bhagwan?
Very true.
And I think as Akhand Bhajan is just a few hours away, and if we just, every time we sing, if we dwell on our own, you know, what this bhajan, possibly what could have been
exactly
the inspiration behind this bhajan,
exactly.
I think that will make every bhajan that we make to Bhagwan, you know, every offering that we make, it will just make it such a cleansing experience.
Very true.
And I think we should continue with this effort of knowing the stories behind these bhajans, and whenever we find something, let's make use of that, and let's use that as one more step
exactly.
In making that bhajan a spiritual experience for us. And even if we do not know that, I think that if we know 10, then you know, we can at least imagine the next, imagine another 5, and make this whole opportunity that Bhagwan has given to sing his bhajans, to sing, and especially during Shivratri, to sing his bhajans continuously for 12 hours. Let's make use of this opportunity and use this, as Bhagwan says, the easiest way to reach to him. And on one occasion, Bhagwan, when we praised Bhagwan and said, Swami, you are Ganapriya, you are the lover of music. Swami said, no, I am not the lover of music. Swami said, music is God's love.
Oh my God, beautiful.
So that is how there is this intrinsic relationship between God and music. And so let us be grateful to Bhagwan for having blessed us, blessed each one of us
exactly.
with this opportunity of connecting to Him through music, and yeah. thereby sanctifying our lives.
Every bhajan is, as Hariharan sir put it, it's a conversation with God. Because if you see all the saints and sages, Meera, Tyagaraja, they have not seen the Sakara Swarupa of God. They have seen the Niraka. In the sense, they have seen the idol.
Yes.
But they felt that it is not idol. It is the God form himself who is listening to them. Correct. They conversed with it day in and day out. And they have merged. And they have realized that they really are God.
Correct.
So every time we get an opportunity, maybe all of us should strive our efforts towards, or focus our efforts towards conversing with God every day, so that we are in tune and our thoughts are so pure, let them become pure and we offer it back to Swami himself.
Wonderful. Very beautifully put. So with that, I think it's time to leave you, dear listeners, with these sublime thoughts, and let us just make use of this beautiful Shivratri that Bhagavan has given us to sanctify our lives, to cleanse our lives as we watch the Abhishekam being done, as the hymns are being sung, as the Akhanda Bhajan starts. Let us just immerse ourselves and use this chance to move one step closer to our beloved Bhagavan. It is more than 10 o'clock now, and I'm Team Native Sai. I wish you, it's time to close this Thursday live session. Thank you so much for being with us all the day through. Even as I sign off, you will continue to listen to a Dharma presented by the first year postgraduate students of Bhagwan's University. It is entitled Premadhara. So enjoy listening and let us spend every moment of our lives in His music, in His glory, and immersing in His love. Thank you so much, and sign off.
Sarah.